Welcome to Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys hanging out with us today. We've got Ava here.
I'm here.
We got Don here.
I'm here.
And we've got me here. I'm Eric.
We're all here.
Last time I checked, yeah, we all are here. Lots of fun stuff to talk about today. We're going to be, are you a mosquito magnet?
Kind of.
Check it out. We're going to have a little bit to talk about that. How to prevent mosquito bites. Well, let's try to reduce them, if nothing else. That and more when we return.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Hey Don, Ava, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. I made it safely back from Michigan.
Yeah, enjoyed all the pictures.
Yeah, they were up. It was awesome. I absolutely had a blast. I don't think I've ever seen any Great Lake, and I spent a lot of time on the Great Lakes. I don't think I've seen any Great Lake that calm for that long a time. And in fact, right now, I was just talking to a gentleman. He's actually out on the other side of Lake Michigan, over on the
eastern side.
And he said it's flat calm still.
Wow.
I mean, that's like 5, 6 days, 7 days of flat calm conditions. A friend of mine was on Erie. Same thing. You could drive wherever you wanted to. So early spring, we had the wind literally a lot.
Right.
Right now, it's not. So we really could go anywhere we wanted, but we went out of Port Washington and went a smaller, not a big boat, we did a 22-foot Vexus.
Right.
But we had it rigged out with everything. You've got the downriggers. We had dipsies, two downriggers, two dipsies, and then we ran four. We had three of us in the boat, so we had four outside lines and the lead core. And wow, it was amazing.
So you're running five lines?
No, you can run more than that. I forget how many you run.
I think you can run three per person.
Yeah, whatever. It's a large number, whatever it
sure is.
Yeah. So high lines, we were running Dodgers and a fly. So, you know, the plate that's about
sure three.
It was a smaller Dodger.
Sure.
Bright orange. And we were running a translucent fly, which is basically tinsel tied onto a treble hook.
Sure.
That's it. About 18 inches back. And
from the Dodger.
From the Dodger,
yep.
Right. We put a 1 ounce weight on it. So we let about 18 feet out and put a 1 ounce weight on it. Well, first we were using 2 ounce and we weren't getting any fish. So then I did a little research. And as normal, when it gets calm, the warmer water's up top. So I went to a 1 ounce. My walleye brain kicked in. Went to a 1 ounce and then went 35 back and 45 feet back. So if you're not familiar with how this works, you put a 1 ounce snap weight on. It's like a clothespin that has a weight on it, a little sinker. And what that does is it allows that bait to be pulled down to a certain depth. And then based on how far you let that line out behind a board, which is a planer board has a 45 degree angle cut in the front of it. You set it in the water and you pull through the water and it pulls it out to the side of the boat so you can get more lines and call it a spread, which allows you to have multiple baits, not in the way of everything else. And it allows you to really cover an area, kind of like plowing the road, as the saying goes, or the wide plow, same concept. You're presenting baits to a large area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went 25 and 35. And as soon as we went to 35, 45, as soon as you went to 35, 45, coho, 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 coho. It was awesome. And I don't know if you ever had coho to eat.
Oh, yeah, they're fabulous.
Absolutely fantastic. And, you know, we were getting anywhere from 18. I got a 28-incher.
Right.
So quite good. Was fantastic. And then, of course, the dipsies, anywhere from 80 to 120 feet out, depending on the day. But we actually normally, you get done at about 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning. You're out at dark in the morning, and then you fish through the early morning hours. You do the glow thing, charge your baits, their glow, and then work through the day and quit about 10. We just kept going, and we got some decent fish in that 11 o'clock time frame to 12, which was very surprising. But we did troll quite a ways, and anywhere from 80 to 120 feet. But generally, it was that 100-foot mark we came back in and out of.
So they were that deep.
Well, yeah, and again,
I mean, if you're doing 35, 45, I would guess you're not fishing more than 40 feet down.
No, it's more like 10.
10 feet down?
With the outside boards. 10 feet, right. 1 ounce. Yeah, with the 1 ounce. 35 back was about 10 feet deep. So mm-hmm. the coho were coming up.
Yep.
You had to be deep for the kings. The kings were all the way at that 90, 85, 90 mark. We set those at that point. And then, of course, we had the dipsies that were higher and really working the zone. But what a blast.
Oh, yeah. That's
got about
a
38-inch king, about 26 pounds. That was an hour and a half fight. But massive. Just unbelievable fish.
Yeah.
It was super cool.
What weight line were you using? That it would take that long.
Well, the big concern was losing it because you couldn't pull it. It just kept stripping line.
Right.
It stripped line out. Let's say we had 80 feet, 70 feet, 80, 90 out. It peeled line to 580. Three runs, it just went and peeled line. 580 feet. He looked at the counter and he's like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Had plenty of line.
Yeah, that's when you have to start catching up with the boat.
Well, and he got all the other lines. You keep trolling. Oh. You know, you don't stop. So that was, and it was mayhem because we got two coho at the same time while we had the big one on. And let it drag.
Have you ever tried just jigging for them?
Jig for?
Cohos or the...
No.
Lakers?
No, out there, the reason is it's not really a schooled up scenario. It's not relating to any structure.
Right.
So if they were related to structure, then I'd say that would be a good call.
Option.
You'd have a tighter group of fish. But the way this was, they were spread out for miles. And, you know...
Yeah, we actually went out, we were fishing way up in northern Manitoba for the, you know, the bigger lake trout.
Yep.
Have better luck with the... ounce and a half jigs, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Big tubes on them.
If you're able to have a targeted area where you've got fish that you can focus,
right.
But this is such a big grouping or area and boats spread out all over the place. It was crazy. Tell you what, when he came with that 38-incher into play on Monday, it was the star of the show. It was crazy. Everybody's like, you got a 4-year-old? Because they only 4 years and then they basically they're done.
Right,
they,
right.
They're done. They'll die. But you got a 4-year-old already? That's crazy. You know, normally you don't get them this time of year. It's later in the season. But,
right, right.
But truly an amazing fish. A good time. And, boy, talk about fun. Get out there and try it out of Port Washington. A lot of guides out there. A lot of fun people to work and have a great experience with out of Port Washington. So check it out. Hey, check us out. We'll be right back after these words. Welcome back. And of course, we always like to have you check us out on Facebook and where else, Don?
On thevalleyoutdoors.com.
The Valley Outdoors. Check that out and keep stopping back because we soon are going to have the special Fish With Us promotion and it should be kind of fun. And of course, the directories, if anything in the outdoors you're looking to do, you can log on there and check wherever you're going and see what's going on in your state or location. So, one thing I have to comment, Don, you know, when I was catching those big fish and you hook a king salmon and it's an hour and a half fight, right? And you get it in the boat and you look at it, it's like, wow, look at the size of those teeth. And you think, that's a big fish. Boy, I wouldn't want to get my finger in there. And then I start looking at the news and orca whales attacking ships and, or I shouldn't say ships, boats, smaller boats. And they're punching holes in the side of the boats and sinking them.
Where is this happening?
You didn't hear about that?
No, I haven't.
Ava, you heard about that.
Nope.
What?
Sorry.
You're telling us about it.
The orca,
we waited.
The orca killer whales, they're, I don't remember exactly where, the ocean, obviously.
Okay, in the ocean. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Obviously,
narrow
good
it down.
Thing. It's not in the tank, fish tank. But yeah, apparently that something happened to the mother orca, and she is training the other orcas because apparently it had something to do with one of her babies that got hurt or injured or something. So she's, they're attacking these, and she's training the other ones on how to do it. It's a very smart animal. But it's scary. You're looking at what's going on. They're rammed the rudder on a sailboat.
Okay.
Disabled it. They couldn't go anywhere, and they kept running into it, and they punctured a hole in the boat, and the boat was sinking. So they had to get rescued, pulled in. Eventually, the boat sunk. And this has happened now to, I think, the count as of this afternoon is 5 to 6 other boats that are in the area.
Really?
No lie.
Make you think twice about getting in your dinghy.
Ain't no dinghy going to be going out there.
Well, if your boat's sinking, you got to get into something.
You'd be on the ringy dinghy calling the Coast Guard to get you out of there.
Yeah.
I recently, the guy was on his kayak. You got attacked by a shark.
I saw, well, not a shark. I saw a guy on a kayak get, a whale came up and and with his mouth and took him into the air, but rejected it, luckily.
Not a good flavor.
No.
Plastique is not good.
Yeah.
No matter how you slice it. Well, there was a shark that came up, a great white that came up
took a chunk out of the kayak.
Slid its mouth along the side of the boat, or his kayak.
Yep.
You know, and it's a little freaky. Good video. You can see the whole thing. Then you slow it down and see his teeth coming up on the side of it. But,
right.
Animals gone wild.
Yeah, well, that's one thing I'll never have to worry about.
And the reason?
Because I'll never be in the ocean in a kayak.
There were people out in Michigan on kayaks, and the only thing I will say is this. If you're on a kayak in that environment when you're out at dark, that's taking chances.
Because, there's boats running.
But nobody is, you don't, perception
no silhouette.
Is not that low, even though you have the light up. It's like flat on the water.
Right.
Just
no.
Very, very crazy.
Dangerous.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
I would say, even in the daylight, because, you know, if it's a overcast day or there's waves, you may not necessarily see them at that same, hopefully, time frame that you would want to avoid them.
Right.
So, story coming out of Minnesota DNR. The DNR did reach their stocking quota or spring targets, and it's been busy for them. They were trying to get at least 309 million walleye fry. Everything went great. We did meet our egg take quota for all locations. And they said that they were still some stocking happening late last week. Expect the number stocking fry to be at that 309 million or even higher, very possibly. So this year was an improvement because of what the lower Mississippi strain walleyes have done over the spring. And the strain is two extra sites for operation on egg take, Hinckley area and Cannon River. Near Waterville were new places where the walleyes were caught and had the egg take done. Kind of neat, Don, when you look at what we're able to do, because there are separate strains of walleye. It's not, oh, let's just go out and get some walleye.
There are. I mean, and you see this all over. You know, you've seen the green walleye and the blue walleye and the golden ones. That's got a lot to do with the chemicals in the water. You know, or the irons or whatever that's in the water, but there are different strains.
Yeah. The Brainerd Fisheries Office stocks 15 lakes, 13 rearing ponds, which stock 21 other lakes in the fall. It's a later stocking this year for Brainerd because of the snow. It was late into the spring. They did say they're going to be sitting really well, which is good. Waterville area hit its quota as well, 35 million fry, and they stock 48 different water bodies in their area. So, yeah, pretty impressive. And it can make it difficult when you have a spring that we had with late
high water.
High water. Late is the problem because you end up having ice out. You can't get what you need.
Right.
And like what happened up on Mille Lacs this year, the tribal quota was not met. They didn't get to the tribal quota. So.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of a... it's nice to have good stories. I like the positives.
Positive ones.
Yep. Let's jump into avoiding five common mistakes made by muskie anglers.
I wouldn't have a clue because I'm not a muskie angler. I run into a lot of them when I'm on the water north, but...
Well, muskie fishing is an addiction.
You know, yeah. It really is. And since you guys have five things, let's do it after the break.
Okay.
Let's
I like that. Your thinking.
Okay.
We'll be right back right after these words.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Talking about the five common mistakes made by muskie anglers.
Yeah.
And you said you didn't know anything about that?
Well, I've tried to avoid getting that bug.
It is a bug. It is an addiction, like we were talking about. It is about the point of the muskie expo. It's an expo just about one species of fish.
Right.
That's...
Well, they're elusive. They're hard to catch. They're...
And then when you catch one, you've hooked onto a freight train.
Yeah. You know, it's... I put, you know, a lot of groups together that have gone to Canada over the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one group that was four guys. They're from Rochester, Minnesota, that would go along with us every year. And we were in some pretty hot, musky waters. And they would get up and they would... I would give them a hard time because they would flail the water from sun up till sundown. You know, and then they partied like animals, and they do it again the next day at the end of the week, you know. And they would get excited about having three follows during the week.
Oh, yeah.
If they landed one, you know, nothing. I mean, they weren't fortunate enough to catch anything huge, you know, 54 or anything like that. Other than we did have one land by our dock one morning, and they were astonished. And that fish was caught like 5 days later by a kid with a bobber sitting on the dock. And it was 54 inches, and it was released. But it looked like an alligator in the water.
Oh.
I mean, yeah. I understand, but and that's why I'm trying to avoid, you know, getting the bug. Because you know what that means? It's another whole set of equipment.
It is not inexpensive. The baits are $25 to $50, sometimes $100 each.
A bait, yeah.
Per bait.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was bad with my selection of walleye tackle and bass tackle.
I mean, fortunately, I've had the experience of catching several muskie over the years in this same water while I'm fishing for walleye. And a lot of times what will happen is you'll get a 13 or a 14-inch walleye on your hook, and guess what? It gets really heavy for quite a while. You get pretty excited and think you got a 30-inch.
Right up to the point where it decides it's going the other way.
And then all of a sudden, the walleye comes flying out of the water like he's... And he's got these marks on him, you know.
I had that happen where was that? That was up at Leech. I was fishing with the resort owner right after one of the tournaments, the NWTs up there. And I said, let's go out and fishing. So we were fishing walleye on a hump in the middle of nowhere in the South Shore. And we'd been catching fish on creek chubs. Well, we hooked one, and it was about 28-inch walleye. And we were standing on the back deck watching, and I was taking some pictures over his shoulder, you know. And I'm looking down in the water, and out of nowhere, a giant, and I mean it was giant.
Muskie, yeah.
Muskie comes out and grabs the 28-inch walleye on a dead flyby, grabs it, his line is zzzz,
yeah.
That's all she wrote.
Because you're not rigged for it. I mean, that's...
No.
I mean,
but to see a 28-inch walleye get hauled off like he was not even anything, you know. Like it's almost like Jaws.
Right.
They just...
Literally, the one that I'm talking about was right below our deck, and there was a mother duck going nuts trying to get her ducklings out of the water for a good reason. And we looked over the edge of our deck, which is right over the top of the water, and I would guess the head on that was between 6 and 8 inches wide.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, oh, my goodness.
Well, you saw the photo of the one I caught up in Eagle Lake.
Yes.
That was 55 inches, and that was massive, too.
Yep.
All right, so let's get to the story.
All right.
We can tell stories all day long, which is good. Number one of the top five common mistakes made by musky anglers. Number one, fail to properly set the reel drag. That's with any fish, right?
Yes.
I mean, literally.
Yes.
You don't have it set for the line that you're running, which is important. You got to be able to do that. Musky angler has to set the hook. Today's no stretch braided lines still stretch 2 to 3%. And if you're lucky, and then you think about it, in a 100-foot cast, the line will stretch 2 to 3 feet. So it's more about not so much tightening it not enough, or I should say,
it's getting a hook set.
It's having that tight so you can get that set in instead of setting the hook and then the drag is taken out. Because when you set the hook into that, you need to make sure that it really gets set. You've got big hooks, very strong, hard mouth, and you need to get that embedded into that. So you should be able to pull the drag so it barely pulls out. And many guys argue that say that's too tight based on this the article, and they contend that they can back off the drag after the hook's set. That's what he contends. And in reality, if a big fish wants to take line against the tightly set drag, it's going to go.
Right.
Prime example, that big Chinook we had.
Right.
Number two, only make a figure eight when seeing a musky following. Every season, a percentage of muskies caught in the figure eight from this particular person's boat is around 25 to 30% of the time. Making a full eight every cast develops muscle memory so you don't choke when the big fish comes down on the lure and you see it coming.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
It's like, what do you call it?
Deer fever.
Deer fever. Buck fever. Buck fever. Yep. Using the wrong leader. Leaders prevent muskies from cutting the line with the sharp teeth. Obviously, same thing with pike. However, leaders add weight to the front of the lure and they create drag in the water. Both can affect the performance of the bait, especially smaller models of baits. That's why the smart musky anglers use several types of leaders, including different weights, lengths, and materials. There is no such thing as an all-around leader that will work well with every lure. Base that selection on what type of lure you're using,
right,
so it doesn't overpower it and not make it run right, because they're picky.
Yep.
Get hung up on a favorite lure, whether it's because you like the way it looks in the water, because it's once caught a big fish, anglers tend to have a favorite lure they'll use way too often. It's a comfort bait.
Sure.
That's what it is, Don.
Yep.
It's you are comfortable and you think this is my go-to. I put it on, it makes me feel good. If I don't have it on, I get this.
I don't have the confidence.
I don't have the confidence. I get angst. It's just like I need to put it on. I have a jig, favorite jig that and a color and type that I use almost all the time. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to tell people everything, but
they don't work anyway.
On,
but
if you don't have that on, feel comfortable. So that's the way it is. What?
I said they don't work anyway.
Oh, boy, listen to you. The first lure out of the box would be some type of bucktail, so you can cast fast and cover water and contact lots of active fish and catching several. Angler chooses a favorite lure that requires a slower retrieve, won't be able to cover water as quickly, and he may still catch fish, but likely fewer because he's not contacting the active fish with the appropriate bait. And last but not least, number five, follow your schedule. Wise anglers know musky activity is influenced by the moon, weather, and light changes. Nothing else works. There'll often be a brief flurry right before dark. While it is wise to fish whenever you can, never leave the water when a potential feeding window is about to occur. Now, guys, write that down, put it in your back pocket, and use that quote. While it's wise to fish whenever you can, never leave the water when a potential feeding window is about to occur. No matter if you have reservations for dinner, If there's a holiday, whatever, coming up, make sure you take advantage of that line and write that down. Positioned at the top of the food chain, muskie is, they are naturally few in numbers and taking advantage at every opportunity. Those are really amazing ones. I think what you find is that the favorite lure versus using the appropriate lure to cover the water you need to cover. Covering water with muskie fishing is a big thing. Finding and identifying if you see fish in a bay and you're not getting them, you couldn't get them to land, then switch your baits to draw that fish out. If you came up and he followed and he didn't hit it, try a couple more casts, then switch your bait up to something else that may change or allow you to run slower to get maybe more effect on it. But I think that's really the bottom line that we really need to focus on, because I will tell you, I do feel that comfort level though. There's sometimes that you've got to have that comfort.
Yeah, and that's a confidence thing.
And whether it's a crankbait bite or it's a jigging bite, you can get caught in that wrong scenario. One thing you don't want to do, don't get caught stuck with one type or presentation. Make sure you expand it, take the time to learn it, and enjoy the outdoors. So that's always a good thing. So that is what I really sums up that whole really bottom line, as far as I know.
We got to talk about the mosquitoes next time, I'm guessing.
We'll have to talk about the mosquitoes next time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
That's
mosquito
too bad.
Magnets are fun.
Yeah, because.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah, I know. Well.
Why do mosquitoes bite sweet people?
Well, it has
next
to do
time.
With. I was just going to say it's two letters. B-O. All right. For the Valley Outdoors, Ava, Don, and myself, we are out of here. Hope you have a great weekend. And join us next week. See ya.